And welcome to Why Wait, the rise of real-time analytics, the Rockset podcast, where we talk with real engineering leaders about the intersection of analytics and data. I'm Gio Tropiano of Rockset, and I'm here with my co-host today, Rockset co-founder and CTO, Dhruba Borkathur. This episode, we are joined by Tapan Chaudhary of TruckX, an IoT platform for transportation, providing ELD compliance, telematics, and dash cams. In addition, scheduling, dispatch, and ELD devices for fleets. And you guys are based out of Mountain View, California, correct?
That's correct.
Wonderful. Tapan and Dhruba, welcome to Why Wait, and happy St. Patrick's Day. We're filming on and recording on St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patrick's Day. Before we kick it off, for our listeners and our viewers, please share your thoughts on our community Slack channel at rockset-community.slack.com. So, Tapan, let's start off with what TruckX does and what problems you're solving for your customers.
Sure. So myself, Tapan Chaudhary, I started TruckX. It's been like 4.5 years. We focus on telematics compliance. It's IoT platform. We have 8 different IoT devices that we work with, and it goes on the trucks on the road, right from location trackers, simple trackers, to advanced trackers, which has temperature sensors and other IoT devices that connect to it. We have electronic logs. These are logging devices that is used by the truck drivers to record how many hours they are driving on the road. Then we have cloud dash cam. So these cams are connected on the windshield. It looks outside, inside for the driver. It has some AI on it, on the edge. It's cloud connected. It records live video, and we provide value to the trucking company owners.
That's awesome. So you're not just a software platform. You also have physical devices that your customers utilize in order to speak to the software, correct?
That's correct. It's a combination of hardware and software.
Wonderful. Do you happen to have any of those devices handy?
I have a bunch of them here.
Yeah, show me. Let's walk us through just a couple of them. This is not only audio, but also visual. Viewers, that would be awesome.
So I'll start with the electronic logs. These are governed by the mandate. So this is like a very small device. These are the ports, like a diagnostic port on the truck. So it goes in. It has Bluetooth. It has its own GPS. It talks with the mobile app or the tablet. And then I have the bigger brother of that. It's this one. It comes with a ruggedized tablet and a docking station and stuff. So it's a big one. It's tethered into the truck. So it's just wired into the computer of the truck. So we can get all the readings from the truck, like the speed, the RPM, and all that. Then I have these asset trackers with me. So these trackers it has a huge battery that can last for almost 6 months. And plus it has wired connection, so it can do live location tracking. It can talk with other devices like these temperature sensors. These are Bluetooth temperature sensors. They work with them wirelessly. We have a bunch of these different types, like wireless relays, door sensors, and stuff like that. There are like smaller brother of that is this, that can be a hidden tracker, again, talks with different devices. And this is the new one I was talking about, is the dash cam. So this is a cloud connected camera. So these are like a bunch of devices which we have. And then we have our mobile apps for the driver. So these devices talk to the mobile app locally as well when there is no internet. And when there is internet, it talks directly to the cloud as well.
So all of these units and tools talk to the software platform, right?
That's
typically correct. Your customers then are fleet management operators. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. So these are people who are managing their fleets. It could range from like even like few trucks to all the way to 100 or 500 trucks, 1,000 trucks.
So what's the size of data that like one customer, like data sets, like on a daily basis or let's say a daily basis, like how what's the range there that a potential customer could be managing data wise?
It varies a lot. Yeah, it varies a lot. Like just the location tracker itself. anything from like all the way to 10 seconds, every 10 seconds to 30 seconds we ping, mm-hmm. right? This is coming only from one truck. And this is just the location data. It comes with other driver behavior stuff as well. Then temperature sensors, that's recorded every 30 seconds as well. So we get the temperature, the door status. The dash cam, that dash cam also does its own live tracking. It has its own SIM card in it. So again, that's another 30 seconds per, one ping every 30 seconds, right? So the data is very interesting, right? I mean, you guys know it much better. There is a size of data wherein total size, but it gets very interesting when you have like small pieces and a large number of small pieces of data. And that's where things are very interesting when we kind of collect all these data and then put it together in the cloud. So even though Dashcam might say, okay, we have huge video footage, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's like a small metadata and then a huge kind of a blob of data that goes as a video. But interesting things come in when we have all these different devices and we try to produce a cohesive data to the fleet manager.
So then this kind of walked right into my next question. So how are the fleet management kind of decision makers or operators, like how are they using the data or the analytics to solve their problems?
Yeah, so first of all, right, I mean, we provide them a visibility platform. Mm-hmm. So they are able to kind of track their assets in real time, where they are, what they are doing. When you talk about analytics, we provide them several options, like they can see the utilization of their asset real time. So we kind of build up the real time kind of content to them all the time, saying how many hours the asset was driving for, where it was stopped for how many hours it was stopped at a particular location. Also analytics about the driver. So how many hours the driver was driving for a given day, for a given week or a month or a year. So you can actually see how much kind of you end up paying the driver and then how much driver was already, I mean, actually driving on the road. Then interesting things more can be done, which is take this data, map it against the truck miles, how many miles the truck actually did, and map it towards the driver's usage, saying, okay, is the driver driving more in LA, which is a heavy traffic area? So even though the driver is driving for 2 hours, I mean, the driver is only driving for 15 miles, right? Which is not so productive. Maybe find a better time for the driver to drive in LA rather than in the peak hours. To all the way to, can we map fuel data? So we get the fuel consumption from the truck as well. So now how do we correlate the fuel data with the driver hours and with the truck hours? So, and this is just a beginning, right? I mean, we get the DTC codes, which is the fault codes. So when we get any faults in the engine, how do we correlate with the usage of the truck and how it was consumed? Maybe it's depending upon the speed, the RPM, right? I mean, whether the truck was just under high pressure, high RPM, and the coolant temperature was higher, due to which the faults happen sooner. So there is a lot and can be done. And we are just at the brink of getting this all started.
This is, yeah, thanks for explaining that. I think you brought up a very interesting point. You talked about two types of data, looks like there, right? One is the type of data that you're collecting, which makes your future truck routes or timings better, right? But you also talked about collecting metrics or events from the truck, which is, let's say there's a fault happening on the truck or something like that, right? So those, I'm guessing here is that some of those events might need more real-time fix or some more real-time decision-making based on when those yeah. events arrive versus the other ones. So could you tell a little bit about how about your real-time analytics capabilities for some of your data sets versus stale analytics that you might be doing for some of your other data sets?
So, okay, so let's talk an example of a kind of a stale analytics, right? So there is something in our trucking industry called IFTA, I-F-T-A. IFTA is like a calculating mileage of a truck in any given state. So given a month, our system should be able to generate a report which tells, okay, the truck has driven 500 miles in California, 2000 in Arizona, another 2000 in Texas. Exactly. Now, this kind of analytics, I mean, we don't care if it's live or not. I mean, we just calculate midnight. We have a script that runs, goes through the location that got collected over the day and generates that additional miles that got generated for this day. And then whenever they're trying to generate a report, we just kind of add them up and show them a quarterly report or a monthly report. And that's kind of on demand. But this is kind of a, to Dhruva's point, like a stale analytics or aggregation, so to call it. Real-time analytics is something where we have these driver behaviors, right? So we have driver behavior that runs on the edge device itself. We have the utilization part, right? So we get the location from the truck all the time. Now, once we get a location, we need to determine what's the state of the truck, like just based on the asset tracker, whether the truck is actually moving right now or is it parked? So we determine, okay, I mean, if the truck is stopped at a signal, that should not be a parked situation. It's still, the truck is in transit. So we have a live analytics, so to call it, that runs on the server, which determines the previous status of the location and kind of based on that, the current speed, we try to determine whether what's the current status of this asset. So that's kind of one example, which is still not a very heavy analytics, but as and when you have a large set of devices on the field, the problem grows.
Yeah, no, I get it. So essentially, yeah, I wanted to try to figure out the different characteristics of like stale analytics versus real-time analytics. So you explained to me that there are certain things that you really want to do real-time analytics on, right? Mm-hmm. So that happens on your server. Tell me a little bit about how these analytics surfaces to your users. Your users could be truck drivers, or your users could be fleet operators, or other people who are using your system. So how do you surface this real-time analytics part to your users? Not the stale analytics part, because you leave them behind for now. What kind of like load does it put on your system where you have to do real-time, but it's also user-facing to your end users?
So sure. So there are two types of analytics in this as well, right? Real-time, when I look at it. One is wherein there is some dashboard where a user goes and like tries to see something on the dashboard. Even though those things are kind of real-time, but still there is, you have, it's not a push model, it's more of a pull model, right? Because someone is going and trying to look for it. So that analytics could be kind of showing the trucks on the road and the statuses, right? As we talked about, right, of a truck. Now, the other thing could be, let's say if you want to calculate ETAs or we want to calculate the geofencing. So we have geofencing feature where kind of you put geofence on different areas of your map. And then we should be able to generate notification or alerts to the user in real time when something happens, when a vehicle enters or removes, goes out from the geofence. Now, this you can say this kind of is some sort of a real-time analytics. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wherein it's more proactive. You have to constantly look for this and constantly scan all the kind of waypoints, right, for your geofence. So right now we do support a simple geofence, like a circle. We have different ones where we can support, I think, maximum 8 points, I would say, 8 lines to create like a close graph. And from that graph outside and inside if the vehicle goes. Of course, it puts stress to the system because we have to make sure that, I mean, we use different kind of ways to do it, like use some kind of in-memory database, store some data over there, things like that. So we have built like a multi-tier storage system internally. I wish I know Rockset before, but we had a built like this multi-storage system where our one-day data stores is getting stored in Redis. We have, in fact, built a separate Redis which only stores the latest location of any asset. So it's a very small kind of a data set, but it's like really fast. And then we have second tier, which kind of stores 1 week of data, because still when you click on an asset, there are ways where we kind of use a 1 week of aggregated data and whenever user goes onto the platform. So we have that second tier. And I then see. The third tier is like another one, which we use different kind of databases and systems.
I see. So you essentially kind of tier your data because it looks like your queries are kind of different types, right? Some queries are very point type of queries where you're looking at more like a search query, let's say, like where the result sets are small and you need to look at a needle in a haystack kind of queries. Whereas you also want to do some larger aggregations on larger data sets.
Yes.
To power analytics. Is that the reason? Do you have these kind of both kind of queries, and do you actually use two different systems for this, for these type of things? You've talked about Redis and you talked about other data systems as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of a choice, right? You have to make wherein, okay, now either you reduce a data set to increase the performance or kind of reduce, I mean, don't have this kind of live expected behavior, right, from your queries. I mean, essentially everything is a query, right? I mean, if you look at it. So what we try to do, as I said, for live tracking or the latest location, that's highly used, right? Every time someone goes to the system, we have to show them the last known location of that asset. So we just put like one entry. There should be only one and single entry of an asset in this database. And just roll it up in memory and just serve it from in memory live. So it's really fast because now you can do tons of queries onto that.
That makes sense because the data set is smaller because you have kind of aggregated it and put only the latest location of every piece.
Yes. And the other thing which I was saying, a little larger set wherein it's like 7 or 8 days of data, wherein we need to calculate if the driver has any violations in the last 8 days. Now to calculate these violations, we have to actually run through 8 days of records and then apply the latest records and run the hours of service algorithm. It's called, it's a thing where we have the certification for them, the DOT, about how many hours they can drive, right? These are rules and regulations. So we have to run those on that and then show it in the UI saying, okay. And now it's not, the problem is not for one drivers, right? If you log into a system, you have 1,000 drivers. You instantly have to show the data for all the 1,000 drivers. So that data goes into some kind of a time series database wherein, I mean, it's not super fast as Redis, of course, but it kind of does the job.
Yeah, I mean, that's a challenge for many, many people where they have to put the data in different systems to do different types of queries. Yes. What about your data also has things like location maybe associated with the data. You have time associated with your data, right? So it's possible that there might be some analytics that you do, which is very much time-based, like you said, like latest location of a person or a truck is time-based. But do you also do any kind of indexing on other pieces of your data where you have to do indexing on based on your, say, GPS location, or you want to do indexing based on the license plate number or something of the truck? Do you need to index, does your backend need to index different pieces of data in a multi-way rather than just one time-based indexing that you have?
Yeah, I mean, as you rightly pointed out, time is one of the kind of majorly used indexes in our system. But of course, apart from that, we have to index based on the truck IDs, user IDs. We might have to search based on the speed of a given truck to just calculate the speed aspect of it. So temperature, right, is another one, right, if you want to kind of put a graph for temperature. We try to use a system which can have multi indexes in it rather than a single index. So key value pairs typically don't really work well in these kind of systems. You need a system that can handle multiple indexes and cache them, right? So that you can do these queries way faster. And this is how I know Dhruva, right? I mean, I come from a storage background, like long time. So we try to kind of build our own systems accordingly.
Yeah, no, I remember the initial days when you were starting TruckX and you explained to me the vision for the company. That was really illuminating at the time when I met you first time. You talked about the size and scale of the data. And you talked about caching, essentially, right? To make queries faster and make things faster. Talking about size and scale, do you usually have to do these real-time analytics on most recent pieces of the data, or do you do sometimes have to look back far back in time or larger data sets to be able to do some of these analytics that you were talking about for your application?
Most of the time it's the recent data, but for longer term data, which is the kind of violations of a driver, right? So let's say you want to calculate the violation of a driver for the entire year, how many violations the driver had. So what we do essentially is we actually take a snapshot of that information every day and we store it in that database. So rather than recalculating the whole stuff, you just get one entry per day, which is like 365 entries, which is a piece of cake. You take them and like aggregate and show it to them. So it's basically, I mean, there are various ways to do it. I mean, either you do it dynamically, right? I mean, where you don't have this information, but then when you have this information, you can roll up from any time, any point in time. So it's kind of a differential kind of incremental storage system, in backup terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
So that kind of helps us to kind of build up the analytics for a larger data set. But then again, the problem is if you have to come up with some different information which you have not prepared for, then you're in trouble because now you cannot build the whole system again. So
Tapan, we're starting to see a general shift from building with cloud to more serverless architectures, mm-hmm. right? Do you currently adopt or use any serverless components in your stack? And if so, mm-hmm. Like what insights into like value add of those components, add do they provide?
As of now, we don't use a serverless model. I mean, I am a strong believer in microservices. Our entire stack is on Kubernetes. It's very easy to spin up a pod in a Kubernetes as a service. It's literally it's a fork, right? PS fork. So it's as good as a serverless kind of a macro function. That gives us the leverage of kind of having our own cluster and then kind of spin up the services as and when needed and scale up and down. Of course, probably there are a few things which we can use serverless, like maybe the events and alarms that are generated for that, maybe to use these wherein just give it to them and then it does a quick calculation and generate an alert. But we haven't dipped our toes over there in kind of serverless. But to me, it's essentially the same thing. It's like if you have a process which you can spin up and spin down easily, you don't, it's essentially a serverless. As long as developer doesn't need to know about what's happening.
that's
it's
interesting.
It's so funny how
I think.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I thought. I want to expand on Gio's question. So he talked about serverless, and he also talked about kind of a service or software as a service that you can use, which I think you kind of said as long as you don't have to hire too many. People to manage your data. So tell me a little bit about, the operational complexity of handling some of these real-time analytics data platforms that you have, whether it's Redis or whether it is something else. How do you think about how many people or how many mm-hmm. engineers you have to be able to just manage. Massage and keep the data happy before your application developers actually get their hands on it and try to add value to your system?
You'll be surprised. We literally didn't have any single person dedicated for our entire infrastructure. And the reason for that was we went with Heroku. I love Heroku. If someone wants to really build a new next generation kind of an infrastructure company, it's just a reincarnation of Heroku. I've been saying for a long time. But I guess, Heroku allows you to kind of just run an application, not worry about the infrastructure at all. We now have migrated to Kubernetes. So now we have like one person dedicated for this whole Kubernetes architecture. But the idea is with Kubernetes, now that we are getting more scale, Heroku was getting more expensive because the way they bill and kind of stuff like that. They have this weird structure wherein in microservices, you don't want a very heavy process, right? Mm-hmm. You want a lightweight process, but then you should be able to scale into hundreds, right, of them instances. But Heroku does that. If you assign a small CPU or a RAM, it's more of a virtual and it's on demand. So it's not like dedicated to you. And that costs a lot. It reduces the latency, increases the latency. significantly. So, and if you dedicate a CPU, then the CPU size is certainly huge. It's like 4-core and stuff. I was like, okay, no, I just want to run one thread. I don't want 4-core machine for this. And that's the primary reason to kind of move to Kubernetes so that we can efficiently use the system, wherein you can either do a CPU affinity as well if you really care about not losing even the CPU versus actually over provisioning some parts of the cluster wherein you see things, some services can handle ups and downs and latency is not a big issue. So now we have like one person who is managing and building the whole CI/CD for this Kubernetes and managing the database. We did deploy databases internally. I strongly believe of not using kind of external services to have less dependency on the cloud services. So even the database that we have deployed is deployed internally inside Kubernetes. Time will tell how it goes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, at Rockset also, we use Kubernetes quite a lot to deploy our own internal services. We find it worked really well when most of the time we are scaling CPU and compute or memory. But then when you scale the storage, then there are some other challenges that we find at least when we're using Kubernetes or things like those.
I can handle the balance of this all CPU, memory, and storage from your service level. I think it's easier to control the cluster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. What about things like in your real-time analytics platform? Do you are there things that you need to react very suddenly to events that are happening in your platform? You explained to me something about faults in your truck, for example, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how quickly you need to react to them, but or do you need to build new requests from your users where there is a need to build some of these reactive systems quickly and fast and deliver it to your applicant, to your users? What is your demand like? Is it more about offline analytics and let us know when things happen after a few hours or days? Or do you see more demand for ability to have quick decision-making on some of these new data sets that you're getting?
Most of our data set is actually real time because it's a fleet manager. They really want to know if something is going on, like any driver behavior alerts and stuff. It's mainly around like alerting system though. Like if you talk about real analytics, I mean, having fault codes and kind of surfacing that information is, I don't know if I'll consider that as analytics per se. But the way I think of analytics is mainly something if we have, as I said, incremental buildup of an analytics data. I mean, it's always, you can apply that increment on the previous data set you calculated and reduce your time drastically. I mean, you really don't have to kind of do the whole batch processing from ground up. I've been never a fan of Hadoop and stuff. I mean, so it's just interesting to me how people take this huge data sets, build the pipeline and have some output wherein you can actually generate those output really quickly by having an incremental data set. So we haven't seen a large number of those, but yeah, getting all the information real time to the customer is of course the utmost priority for us. And as and when we scale, right, systems like Rockset, I know we have spoken before, so is very interesting and appealing for us to kind of just dump the whole data onto Rockset and kind of it can handle all the indexes on different kind of data we have. And these indexes are powerful then because now I don't have to rethink of how I want to present this information. I can change it on the fly.
Well, with that in mind, what advice, Tapan, would you give to other heads of engineering that are actually building real-time analytics for fleet management?
Well, so, I mean, I've given up this hat of head of engineering now to someone else in our team, but what I can say is, there are two sets of things, right? One is, Let's say if you already have an established company, if you already have an established data set with some legacy system, so that's kind of one kind of a position you're in. And second is if you're building something ground up where you don't have any customers and stuff, right? Both are drastically different approach, right? I mean, my advice will be whatever is based on my first phase of the company, right? Wherein we built the system, as I said, we took some shortcuts in terms of using Heroku and others to kind of quickly build the system, not worry about it at all. And because the data set is pretty small, right, when you start, so you don't really have to worry much. But trying to really dig deep into what value you're building, and building those incremental data sets over time will really help, even if you're stuck with your legacy systems. But if you really want to kind of swap and replace your legacy system, which kind of we're trying to do in some sense, like moving from RDS right now to different kind of time series databases. So this is where now the hard part comes in of how do you move the live data set, which is going from RDS to a time series database, even just for purely live location or location tracking. So we had built a system which now parallelly writes to both sides. And then slowly we cut it off, like cut off RDS on one side, and then run another job, create a clone from the RDS, run a job that can copy all the data, old data from RDS and dump it to timescale, because we don't want two systems to be running all the time, and put some if condition in our code saying, oh, if date is greater than this, go here. If date is smaller than this, go here. I mean, we don't want that. We just want everything in timescale. So running those jobs, of course, I mean, they take time, but I think it's good to bite the bullet early on rather than waiting for your SQL queries to time out. So, I mean, we were starting to observe our queries getting slower and slower. So we just decided to kind of pull the trigger, just find some database that can horizontally scale. And so that's what I would suggest based on my limited knowledge and experience.
Absolutely. So then with the next evolution then of TruckX and kind of where you see TruckX going, like what current challenges are you foreseeing your engineering team facing, right? Kind of in that next phase. Yeah.
So the next phase for us is kind of going from these smaller mid-size accounts, wherein the largest account maybe we have is like 100 trucks, to going after accounts with 1,000 plus trucks. Now, even though in our system we have tens of thousands of trucks, the information on a surface for a 50 truck company is still a small data set from a small subset from the big 30,000 or 50,000 drivers that we have. So now suddenly if you get a company which has 1,000 trucks in it, 1,000 drivers, now it's one company and all the calculations, whatever we do to produce any information on the dashboard, now your data set has increased. So that's the challenge which we are facing right now and which we are actively solving, which does involve analytics, which does involve just a regular fetch of information, right? Which gets slower. And you have to think differently now. How do you fetch this information? Because now suddenly kind of 2 or 3 years ago, your entire user set, whatever it was, right? Like 1,000 kind of drivers, like 3 years ago. Now suddenly it's that in one company. So how do you, I mean, your system cannot work that way. So you have to rethink about your system and scale it.
Well, obviously,
so those are the things that we're working on actively.
That's great. And I wish you luck in tackling those challenges, right? A great discussion today with Tapan Chaudhrani of TruckX. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your experience about, you know, your company and real-time analytics, just, you know, all the challenges and wonderful things that you bring to the market. I think it's an awesome company. And if you're looking to learn more about TruckX, visit truckx.com. You guys have a great website. Congratulations. Thanks, on that, you know, obviously continued success. For our listeners here at Rockset, we're building a real-time analytics cloud-based platform that can add value to use cases similar to those that Tapan described to us today. Thanks once again for joining us, and stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you, everyone, for joining.
Yeah, thanks, Giovanni. I mean, this looks like a great setting to me. I mean, like having a more technical conversation, I really miss it. I mean, coming from an enterprise and storage background, doing a company in trucking is totally different. But yeah, it's good to kind of be nerdy and kind of have these talks.
We love so, nerdy.
Yeah, really appreciate stuff. You guys inviting me here.
Absolutely. The pleasure was ours. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dhruva, for your time. And thanks,
Giovanni. Yeah. Thanks for being here, Tapan.
Bye. You guys, have a good one. Bye.